lot of that is actually very, very relatable. Definitely like a lot of in my own experiences. And wow, I'm failing really bad at my job. I'm sorry, editors.
That's another neurodivergent thing. When your brain just stops working in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, that's
true. I had a whole thing planned of what I was going to say leading into the next one. I'm just like, uh-oh, my brain's gone dead. Oh, blessed be to our editors.
Sorry, continue.
No, it's okay. The neurodivergence is really strong in this episode. Our poor editor has a lot of work to do.
Congratulations.
Welcome back to Top Dogs Podcast, where we will explore the fascinating and interesting world of neurodivergence, uncover personal stories, insight, and unique experiences from the Top Dogs team. If you or a loved one is neurodivergent, come along this journey with us. Let's challenge perceptions, discuss strategies, and have some fun along the way. Tune in for our celebration of the diversity on the Top Dogs Podcast, episode 81, Neurodivergence in the Furry Fandom. This episode is probably brought to you by our amazing podcast supporters, by the way, so thank you guys so much for your support, and let's get this started. Now, full disclosure, we are not experts on the topic, and all points made are a matter of opinion and personal experience. I'm Stream Arcadad.
I'm Trick the Stick.
I'm Sakata Moonblossom.
And I'm Kit Clausen.
Alright, everybody. So, welcome to Neurodivergence. In the spirit of this, Kit actually did some research. Research says that almost 15%, or one in every six or seven furries, identify as neurodivergent. Are any of you or anybody that you know of neurodivergent? You know, whether it be ADHD, autism, or anything else that might fall on that spectrum?
My husband is the closest person I know that is officially diagnosed with ADHD, dyslexia, and I forgot the terms, they're all in French. I have high doubts that I do have ADHD and some specters of autism, but it's not confirmed medically, though I have seeked the help from a social worker in the past for some things, and we brought that subject up. She was not qualified to give me an official diagnosis, but she told me I had a few of the symptoms. You guys think I am, or?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, like, are on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form, my guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm a lovely soup of a person. I have a diagnosis for ADHD and autism, and a few other things in between. I've had a lot of struggles in my life because of that, but a lot of joy that comes to being an individual that's different in your own way.
As a child who grew up in the 90s, you know, they were diagnosing everyone with ADHD back then, but I was one of the ones they got right.
They got right.
They got it right. Like, I had so many discipline problems as a kid, but not because I was a bad kid or because I misbehaved. It was because I couldn't sit still. I couldn't focus. I couldn't stay engaged. My mind was everywhere. They didn't know how to handle it. It was a good day when I only got in trouble twice.
Oh, no. That sounded like my husband.
Oh, honey.
It was like that for him quite often.
My dad didn't believe in the whole medication thing either. If he was the one that took me to school, he wouldn't give me my medication. And that was those were bad days. Looking back, I can definitely see that I needed it. I needed it to function normally.
How has being neurodivergent affected your experience, say, here in the furry fandom?
Oh, man. It's like I found a whole group of people where there are so many more people just like me. There's a higher concentration of ADHD individuals in the fandom. And so when I look around, I see people that I can relate to, people that I've shared struggles with. There's a comforting thing about that, though.
It definitely made it hard to make friends when I was younger. You know, I was awkward and silly and had a hard time with social skills because I didn't understand how to socialize like a person. My socialization was a completely different language than other people. Being autistic, I had to literally research how to talk to people. Google, like, what does this mean? How do you respond to something like this? You know, things like that before I eventually was able to have enough social awareness to make those decisions on my own. And being in the fandom, a lot of people are like that. They're very accepting of the differences that we all have. So in normie life, I had to do all this research, but with furries, I can just be myself. I can exist and it's joyful.
I've found it to be kind of useful, honestly, because we're a community of artists. A lot of us are. Everybody has their special skills and stuff. And I gotta say, when I'm hyper-focused on a project, I don't half-ass it. I go, like, full blast, like, towards that project, and it's, like, kind of crazy. I've put that skill kind of, like, oh, it's, like, kind of a skill or a perk to good use. I use it to make, like, my own fursuit, meet other people that are kind of like me. I didn't know back then there were so many people, like, that were neurodivergent, but I felt really welcome, like, almost immediately, and I felt like I belong with these people. And it's one of the cool things about the furry fandom is how, like, welcoming of everybody we are, and we just let everybody be part of the party, you know, have some fun all together. I think it's fantastic. It's one thing I really appreciate.
How do you feel people who are neurodivergent are viewed by other people in the furry fandom, whether it be, you know, who we call normies, or by, you know, other neurodivergent, you know, people?
I feel that, like, people with neurodivergencies, we're viewed as different already. You know, we are the oddballs of the bunch, the little black sheeps of the herds. But it really depends on who you surround yourself with.
I think we're more accepted, but a lot of neurodivergent people also find outlets for their, oh my goodness, now my brain went dead. they use different art forms for outlets for themselves. The fandom itself is so artistic. My artistic form is in food, in cooking. Drake, you're very artistic with physical media.
Yep.
Dream, you're pretty artistic when it comes to digital stuff and 3D modeling. We've all got our outlets, and there's so many people all across the fandom who use that for their outlets.
Honestly, being in the furry fandom, being neurodivergent almost feels kind of expected because there's so many that are. I don't even know how many people are not neurodivergent. Like, we're a community of artists and creators and very skilled people, and so sometimes the reason why you're so skilled in something is your hyper focus onto something, which, you know, can be like one of the symptoms of ADHD or autism. You're hyper focused on one thing. And it's the thing that is so cool, is it's to be expected. So right off the bat, you go in this community and you feel welcomed. And it's great. It's amazing for that.
It's a lot of in how we accept one another and how we, you know, we treat one another that really kind of helps all of us kind of get through it. It makes things, you know, a lot easier, and it makes the ability to accept each other a lot easier. And, you know, it makes the furry fandom really comfy.
Whether I get a subconscious thing about being neurodivergent is that we are drawn to each other.
Highly agree.
True. Most of us who are neurodivergent have multiple neurodivergent friends within our circles.
That's actually quite the truth. I've got a number of neurodivergent friends.
Some of my friends are on the spectrum of some way, shape, or form.
Same here. Some of my close friends. It's a mix and match because, you know, furries are kind of a hobby for me, so I have a lot of normie friends. But even in my normie friends, there's a lot of them that are on medication for ADHD. It's actually quite surprising, even outside the community. They're a little bit more rare, though. It's not as openly discussed, but I can tell you every single person in my family on Christmas parties, flashback to that video I sent Lewis, all my family members dancing, partying with, you know, adult diapers. It's like, we all know about it. It's like, it's common knowledge. It's like, yeah, we can't have like single discussions. It's just going to be a cacophony of different voices and people speaking.
We all have our good days. We've all got our bad days. You know, some days are worse, you know, for others than they are. In the end, though, I mean, how do you manage, you know, your own unique behaviors associated with, you know, your neurodivergence.
I'm not officially diagnosed for it, so no medication. So I've always had to figure out a method on my own. And what really worked for me is doing guided meditation about focus, concentration. That has helped me tremendously. Getting proper sleep as well really helps. By the end of the day, when I finish my day at work, I kind of feel tired, not physically, but mentally. Doing like a little 15-minute power nap really helps me deal with that hyperactive, NOS-powered, crazy hamster spinning inside my head. It's insane. Like, it allows me to put some brake pressure so that stupid mother effer stops spinning like crazy. And it allows me to be more in the now moment and appreciate the small things in life. Really helps me with my intimate time with my partner. I'm able to perform and be more in the now moment instead of thinking about what we're doing, what we're eating for dinner, what I have to fix. Is my printer all right? Did I put the recycling outside? Oh, yes, I'm having a moment with my husband. Really helps with that. I'll tell
ADHD.
You that.
ADHD. So yeah. That's such an ADHD thing. Sleep is so, so, so important for your body and your mind. A good night's sleep will make or break your day, in my opinion. It makes me sound crazy, but what you sleep, how you sleep, what you eat, and who you put your energy into are like so, so, so important for your brain. What I put in my neurodivergencies, how I, mitigate them. I apologize a lot, honestly, for a lot of my like silliness, but everyone always says I shouldn't, and that's something that I'm actually working on, is not apologizing as much. But also knowing when to apologize is really important as well. The right moments to apologize, because sometimes an apology is truly needed.
You would fit like a glove in Canada because you apologize.
Oh, I do, and you hear it. Oh my god!
ADHD brains never turn off.
Nope.
It's always running, always spinning. So you've got to find ways to give your brain rest. There's many times where I have trouble falling asleep because I can't turn my brain off. So I will lay
That's
in bed,
me.
And at the very least, I'm resting my body with my eyes closed, but I'm still awake. I might lay there awake for 2 hours, but I know it's important to at least rest my body, whether my brain can shut down or not. I'm trying to cut back on sugar. I've put on a little bit of weight. I tend to self-medicate with caffeine because ADHD medications are stimulants. It's like our brains are cross-wired. What would make other people hyper brings us focus.
Yep.
And so stimulants, which would make other people hyper, things like coffee or energy drinks. If you can drink a Monster energy drink and then go take a nap in about 10 minutes after that, chances are you're one of us.
I relate.
Yep.
I relate. I relate.
Oh yeah.
I just feel normal when I drink caffeine. I don't feel hyper. I don't feel like I have extra energy. I just feel I feel
Extreme.
Normal. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Bro.
First day.
Oh man.
Welcome to the club, man.
Especially since you don't live in the states specifically, like, oh my gosh, being in the states and being neurodivergent is completely different. It's a different flavor of crazy.
The prices. The price of medication is crazy.
Don't get me started.
For some reason, coffee, every time I have a training at work and I have to sit at the office to learn a new alarm panel, a security system, I'm like, I hope you better have coffee because I'm not going to be able to sit down for 4 hours straight. And funny enough, every time we have a training at the office, they always take a break after an hour, 30 minutes. And it's like perfect for me because like no more than that, I would be like, what is he talking about? I'm not there anymore. I can't deal with this. Like, even though it's super interesting, I just can't focus. I start thinking about the other stuff. If I'm currently hyper-focused on a project and you pull me out, even though if I had 15 minutes left to satisfy my brain and I go to bed, I'm going to think about it for 2 hours and not sleep until I get my ass back up, finish that 15 minutes, and then after that, I go to sleep.
You honestly, relate to
me.
You've seen the meme of the programmer
therapy session.
Oh no!
Have you guys seen the meme of that person going to bed and like she falls asleep and then the brain goes like, I know where's the error in the line of code 508, and then she goes like, lights open, like eyes wide open, and she can't sleep anymore.
That's I had moments
like that too.
Yeah.
Even when you're done with that project, you know, you get that 15 minutes down, you're laying there in bed, and you're like, all right, it's time for sleep. Why didn't I think about that? And then you got to get back up again.
Pretty much.
Oh, I had moments when I was troubleshooting my avatar, and I had moments like that. I ended up sleeping like an hour and a half later than I was supposed to, and I was working at 6:30 in the morning. Oof, that was a rough day.
What can we do, or what can others do to help each other through their neurodivergencies? What can we do, or what can other people do to, you know, to feel better, or to help them through like a moment they might be having, or help them through, you know, a day where it might be a little bit rougher?
First, I know one of the things that helped me as an adult is to educate myself more on my diagnosis. Once you know more about how your own mind works, you're able to manage it better. That's part of the reason why I'm able to function without medication now. Even into college, I needed my medication to get through my courses. As a functioning adult, because I know my own behaviors, I can manage myself better. I've become more self-aware. And that's one thing that ADHD people lack, is self-awareness. We act before we think. For other people around the neurodivergent individual, if they can give patience, or ADHD people are very forgetful too. Be patient and give friendly reminders. Friendly reminders are wonderful. And also, don't ever accuse us of being lazy.
Talk about putting gas in the fire.
If you tell me I'm lazy, I'm going to prove you right.
Because oh, yeah.
That pulls the very spiteful side of myself. I'm anything but lazy. You know, I do a lot here for the podcast, and I work 40 hours a week, and I manage my home by myself now, take care of the dog. I do a lot. So
you absolutely
I'm not lazy. But there are times when I come home from work, and it's called executive dysfunction. Your brain is telling you need to do something, but your brain won't let your body get up and do it. It's a disconnect. It's not lazy. It's part of the diagnosis. It's a dysfunction.
It kind of feels like that when I get home and like I need to, okay, I just finished work, now I need to make dinner, I need to take the dog out for a walk, I need to work on products, I need to do this, clean this and that, and I'm like, I need to take a nap. It's too much in my brain going on.
I always ask my friends to remind me, especially remind me that you exist. Object permanence extends to people, and it sucks.
Thank you for saying that.
Object permanence is like the permanence of an object in your mind, like how long it stays and exists, and like you think about it and stuff like that. And ADHD people's object permanence, absolute garbage. Oh, we forget things. We forget where they exist. We forget where they are. But I could tell you exactly where that paperclip is. It's on the ground, two floors to the left. Because ADHD will pick the randomest things to remember. But when you want to actually remember people and things like that, it just poofs. Oofs and cons.
It's weird because I struggle to remember what I ate for dinner last night, and I forget like the conversation I had, but I can tell you where that screwdriver is, where that glue stick is, where's my husband's phone. He doesn't know where his phone is, and it's like it's over there on the counter, tilted 45 degrees, flip upside down, pointing towards the north knob. I can be that accurate on items. It's insane. I don't know why.
Dude, I'm the same way in the walk-in cooler at work. I can close my eyes and pinpoint where every single item is in a walk-in cooler. There are 4 8-foot shelves on each side of this walk-in cooler, but I can close my eyes and tell you exactly where things are. The apples are behind the bottles of orange juice on the second shelf from the top on the left side. Like, how do I know these things? And I can even tell you if we're out or not, even if I've never been in the cooler that day. Somehow I just know.
I just realized something. If I ever get robbed one day and somebody breaks in my house, I turn off all of the lights, I can navigate three floors, go upstairs in complete darkness, and I can run and not hit a single thing. This guy won't know where to go. I'm just going to be waiting there, just getting him around the corner. I know that my house, like the back of my hand, I can navigate my house in complete darkness.
They always say that, you know, if you ever suspect a robber to be in your house, to turn off, you know, the lights and stuff, because who knows your house better than you. But what about you, Stream? What are your thoughts on this?
What I do is I just try to be there for my friend and support them. I think just making sure that they feel understood, that you understand what they're going through, is a really good part for the people that are struggling, because they're kind of figuring themselves out. They kind of feel weird. They kind of feel like they're the odd one out. So making sure that you're paying attention, you're listening, and, you know, feel so that they're not weird really helps out. And sometimes, you know, like discussing how you deal with different situations. Everybody that has ADHD, how they like handle the situation, different things, they all have their own ways. And sometimes you don't really know what's yours. So I think discussing it and talking about it can maybe guide somebody on finding their own way to deal with ADHD and neurodivergencies.
For now, everybody, though, stay updated on the Top Dogs podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Hit that follow button to be notified of every new episode. Share the love by leaving us a quick rating. Connect with our community by joining our Discord and Telegram servers, community chat, and you'll find all the necessary links in the link tree down below. We actually truly do appreciate your support, and thank you for your considerations on these.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, if you're looking to snag some awesome perks while supporting us, explore our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, we got the brand new After Dogs show for mature audiences at just $2.99 a month. If you're craving some more, you can upgrade to the podcast supporter plus for $5.99 a month. You get to enjoy episode voting, supporter feedback, and be part of the live audience. Plus, unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join the subscription, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference for the team. To those who have already subscribed, it's a very big heartfelt thank you, sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much.
Subscribe, or we're going to fill your room with empty medicine bottles until it's to the tippy top, and you're going to be drowning in empty medicine bottles.
We asked our Jet, don't destroy my Crocs.
We asked our listeners, what's something interesting or silly you do that you can pin on your neurodivergence? Sharpie Ninja says they wouldn't necessarily say unique, but they have a weird habit of when they hear a sound that enters their brain, they mimic that sound for days.
Yes, I do that. Absolutely. I do
that. There's a name for that.
Is that a tick? Considered like a tick?
I believe that's called echolalia.
Echolalia.
Yes, that is definitely an ADHD / autism thing.
I do have echolalia. I do the thing where I hear a sound and I must repeat it constantly throughout the day for all day, every day, and like.
Chappa, chappa, Louie, Louie, Louie. Oh no, no, don't.
Oh no, stop.
Like that? That's been driving everyone around me nuts.
Songs get stuck in my head super easily. Thanks, Trick. Wow. What a true friend.
Love you, Stream.
Love you too.
I make animal noises. I bark a lot. It drives people crazy sometimes. I also make kookaburra noises and trill. And I honestly associate that to my neurodivergency, because I don't think I'd be able to make as many animal noises as I can because I didn't hyper focus on learning how to do it.
The weird thing that happens with me is that when I get into like a creative state, the whole world disappears. My responsibility, time, friends, family, you know, and even my husband disappears from my life for like two or three hours. It scared the hell out of him when we first started dating, because, like, do I exist? It's like he felt so left out. But then he came to realize that, no, it's just I'm doing my thing. I'm just hyper-focused. So he, like, over time, he coped with it. And now he's super chill. He knows that I need my, I call it having my me time. And he's super understanding of that. But that's the one thing I get. And music gets stuck in my head super goddamn easily. Sometimes sound effect, like the ones on my Discord with Jennifer Coolidge, is there's a few of them that come up every so often. I love her.
I've learned that I share this trait with your husband. I have to use the small silverware.
Me too.
If I don't have any small ones, I will wash them rather than use the big ones.
You sent me that TikTok video where the guy explained, like, the small spoon, the small fork, and the big spoon and the big fork.
Yeah, that definitely sums it up for sure.
You get the big fork and the little fork. Who uses this? I'm small. That doesn't fit in my mouth. Like, this is what I use for everything. So
this is so funny.
That's such a mood.
Oh boy.
From my friend Jay. He says his brain gets so distracted and he can't process what a person says the first time they say it. That's called audio processing disorder.
Disorder.
And that goes hand in hand with ADHD and autism. But he says his vocal stems cause him to just blurt things out randomly, or he just speaks when he can't sit still, or he hyperfixates on something and there's two voices in his head having conversations with each other. And he just can't turn his brain off.
I just hear myself in every response, kind of like, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. And it's like, oh my God. It was funny that we actually started talking about, like, the big spoon and the little spoon and the big fork and the little fork, because, you know, admittedly, I'm the exact opposite. I have to use the big fork, the big spoon.
Really?
And if I can't find, like, the big one to either of those, I lose my mind. I honestly really do. It's terrible.
Small spoon. It doesn't hold
Thank you. Yes.
But tiny spoons make brain go burr. I'm with you. Tiny civilers best.
Yes.
You guys go play with your little spoon. We'll play with the big boy spoons here.
Yeah.
Go eat your baguette somewhere else.
Well, you know what? This is great. You guys use the big silverware of the set. We'll use the small silverware of the set, and everyone gets a fork and a spoon.
Yeah.
Fine. Compromise. What are some of your guys's, you know, your favorite foods to go to when, you know, you're having the quote-unquote the moment, or, you know, your brain's kind of going somewhere? What are safe foods for you guys?
I have safe foods. I have slowly been expanding my plethora of safe foods over the years because I get bored very easily of food, and doing that makes food hard sometimes. Food is always difficult for me, especially when you're incredibly picky. Macaroni and cheese, chicken nuggets, but also, like, fettuccine Alfredo and tortellini, and any kind of pasta is a safe food for me, with cheese, any kind of cheese, except for blue cheese. Blue cheese is evil.
Depends on how you cook it.
Yeah.
Macaroni with the chicken strips.
It's chicken strips.
With the chicken strips.
That meme is me. That meme is me.
Macaroni with the chicken strips.
What about you? What are your favorite foods?
Noodles.
Noodles and noodles.
Chicken strips. Ramen or udon or stir-fried noodles or spaghetti or a linguine or it doesn't matter. If it's noodles, it's good. Noodles are life.
It's funny that you brought up noodles and you brought up chicken strip because that's literally when I feel lazy and I want to eat something quick but get a bit of protein. I just make myself a pack of ramen and I put chicken strips in it. I just eat that. I'm not even kidding. That's literally what I do. I'm not super difficult on food. I eat like literally everything. But usually when I have like my ADHD moment, I need to eat something because I'm hypoglycemic. So I have to, you know, get a minimum amount of, you know, sugar in my body. Mm-hmm. So I'll eat something simple. But if I really want to treat myself, the other thing I love doing is craft dinner with bacon and grilled sausage slices. My husband is like, I'm going to throw up. I'm like, it's so good. I love it.
Bacon and hamburger. That's how I do it. It's really, really good. And then you add some broccoli for added veggies and fiber. It's so good.
Broccoli and Kraft dinner is really good, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah.
For those of us not in Canada, Kraft dinner is what you guys call Kraft macaroni and cheese.
It's mac and cheese.
That's what it is. It's a big K and a D instead of a Kraft macaroni.
In the blue box.
With the chicken strips.
With the chicken strips.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
Putting hamburger and then broccoli in Kraft dinner.
Yeah, like, honestly, it's protein, it's carbs, and it's veggies all at the same time. It's so good. Follow us for cooking tips.
Woo! Are there any special interests that, you know, you've developed over time that, you know, may have come or may have stemmed from, you know, those neurodivergencies?
The question is pretty much, what am I not interested about? I'm curious, and I have hobbies. Like, I have 1,000 different hobbies. But I gotta say that tinkering and making stuff with my hands is really one of my favorite. It can be like 3D assets, it can be like modeling parts, then printing them, sanding them, building them together. I used to make electronic circuits, programming and everything. And me, the really weird thing with me is every time I buy something, I gotta check the accessories for it. Like, how can I customize it to make it unique so it's not like every other people's product? Now, my headset is the perfect current example I have. I've changed the headphones on it, soldered my own wires onto it. I put a studio microphone on it. I put the Vive face tracker on it. I have the wireless adapter, and I did Samsung Gear VR lens mod on my headset. I had to take the whole thing apart all the way down to the LCD panels to be able to do that mod. And I had so much fun doing it. But it's unique. Dude, and that's kind of the weird thing I do.
I've seen your headset. It looks like Frankenstein's monster.
It's not as heavy as it looked, by the way. It used to be worse.
My special interest has changed over the years, multiple times. But once I find something that I really get into, I do a deep dive, like especially in video games. The most recent one was probably Persona, where I go in and I research every character and I research every persona because they pull from different mythologies from all over the world. And I have to know all the details about all of them, all the stats, all the lore, all of it. I have to know all of it. I've done the same thing with many different video games.
My plants and my bugs and my lizard all stem from the fact that I'm probably autistic and I need easy things to take care of. So like isopods, for example, are a lot of fun, easy to take care of, and super useful in day-to-day life, actually. In my opinion, especially if you keep reptiles, because you can create bioactive enclosures for them. I also love bioactive enclosures, which is a special interest of mine. What that is really is just an enclosure that is its own living ecosystem. It creates its own life. All you have to do is put some bugs in and maybe a lizard, and it just grows and plants, like lots of plants. Also, furries is surprisingly a special interest of mine, just generally. I know a lot of history of the furry fandom. I've written papers about them before in college. I did a lot of research about the fandom and its history because I was an art historian for a little bit in college, and so I wrote papers about art history and us in English class because it was really fun and the teacher let me write whatever the heck I wanted.
If there's one thing that we all know, we all have, you know, things that are just very, very much a stay away. You know, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Very...
our ick.
Yes, our icks, if you will. One of your guys is like, your icks, your yucks, your keep away from me's. Kit, why don't you start off with this one?
I hate microfiber cloths.
Same. Hard same.
When I have to grab them at work, it just makes my skin crawl. I hate it so much. Like, my hands are rough. I work with my hands, and so my hands are rough. And these microfibers catch and snag on the tiniest little thing on my hand that I don't even see or feel. But it finds it. It finds it. And I hate it. I hate it so much.
Oh, the texture of wooden popsicle sticks. I don't know what it's about. I don't know why I hate it, but I hate the texture of wooden popsicle sticks. Even when I was a little kid and we were forced to build things out of them, I hated doing it because touching them was just a nightmare.
The moment I start imagining that I'm biting into a knitted wool glove or mittens, the feel of wool on my teeth triggers the hell out of me. I hate this. It gives me twitches just thinking about it. I don't mind clawing like a blackboard with my fingernail. I can do that all day. No problem.
God,
I don't
no.
care. Screeching on a plate with a fork. I hate that. I can't stand it. But the knitted wool gloves is my absolute worst. Oh, and another thing. I cannot stand Gollum voice from the Lord of the Ring. You start doing that voice, I'm gonna leave the call. I can't stand it for some reason. I don't like how it sounds, how it pronunciates. I can't stand it. And I also hate Trick's imitation of the Cali Girl.
Oh my god, he totally hates when I get into like the Cali Girl voice and it drives him up the wall.
I'm sitting here trying really hard not to do Gollum. I've been told by a lot of people I have an almost like screen like good Gollum voice.
Don't
do it.
I don't want to set him off. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be a good wolf. I promise.
Just do it. Just do it.
Wow, small pulses. Wow. Alright, we're gonna wrap this whole thing up with our last point of topic here in stream.
Last question.
This one kinda hits you really hard. This one's the one that I see from you a lot.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that you're really, really good at, you are very good at info dumping.
I've found it to be kind of useful, honestly, because we're a community of artists. A lot of us are. Everybody has their special skills and stuff. And I gotta say, when I'm hyper-focused on a project...
Honestly, being in the first item, being neurodivergent almost feels kind of expected because there's so many that are.
You that, so I mean, I'm gonna ask these guys here, you know, have you guys ever done a full info dump, and what were the reactions from your peers? Like, what did they think when you're just like, okay, and what? Hi,
by the way, we exist. It's like, are we having a conversation or a monologue? You tell me.
I have done this many times. My best friend growing up, we've known each other for a little over 20 years now. We've grown up together, and he's seen it, experienced it. When I get really excited about something, I'm happen to be hyper-focused on at the moment, and I have to tell him all about it, and I can't leave out any details. He was patient with me, so I appreciate that. At the end, he's like, oh yeah, I didn't know about all that. I just knew some of that. Okay, cool. Let's go do this other thing now. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Classic sign, you know, you've info dumped when your friend is just kind of like, okay. And then now we're moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I've had both positive and negative reactions. Growing up, people were very negative towards me about info dumping. Like, they'd get really annoyed with me and get mad at me. We should always be kind to people, you know? But anyways, now as I grow older and I find more kinder and better people to surround myself with, people are more interested in what I have to say and are more interested in hearing me talk about the fun things I can and fun things I can like plants and bugs.
Stream's having some technical difficulties over there.
People should be kinder to others when it comes to things, and hopefully info dumping is cool. You learn a lot with an info dump.
Let's just say that everybody in this room, including backstage, we don't have enough fingers to count on the amount of times I've done this on my Discord and just casual conversation. It's just for some reason, every time I get excited with something, I need to voice it. I can't keep it for myself. I need to speak it out loud. And the problem is, when I have my life achievements, it sounds like I'm bragging all the time, but it's not the point. I'm just like, hey, this is happening. I'm so happy. This is where the whole idea with me having a brag jar and the brag jar in my world called Cozy Sky Cabin, that's why the brag jar is there. It's when I do those accidental brags. It's just like me just voicing how excited I am about something. It goes along with my frustration, too. I can't bottle up emotions inside me. I just can't. It's really difficult for me. I need to voice that out all the time. Sometimes it will sound like I'm backstabbing somebody and talking about their behind their back, but I'm just evacuating my frustration. I've known that over time, if I'm going to be doing that kind of venting, I need to find a specific person that I trust. Kit, thank you for your support. I appreciate that a lot. and my husband, like, is the other ones. But when it's furry related, he's not really active with the furry stuff, so I usually go up to you, but everything else in life I go to my husband, and I need to vent something where I'm like, go ahead, go for it, and he does the same thing too. So it's kind of funny.
It's so important to not just be kind to people, or not just be nice to people, but to be kind to people. You don't know what's going on in others' heads. Don't take things personally. That's something with being autism and ADHD I've noticed. Like, we take things super personally sometimes, or we don't take them personally at all. You just gotta take things with a grain of salt.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys had a fantastic time as much as we did, because that sure was a very fun and interesting discussion. So I hope you guys learned a little bit more. I hope you find something useful out of this episode, or I just hope that you guys had a really good time listening to it. I'm pretty sure I can speak for the whole team that we had a really good time, I'm pretty sure. So I hope you guys have a fantastic day, have a fantastic night, and take care of yourself, and enjoy life, have fun. Bye bye.
Just remember, everybody, if you need to save food, just eat the macaroni with the chicken
with the strips.
Oh gosh.
Wait for it. With a little extra ranch on it.
No.
Okay, we can cut that out.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
All right. Good night, everyone. Take care.
If you ever need somebody else to reach out to, and Kit's not around, you can reach out to me. I am happy to be a dump for your info, so to speak.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, God. Don't say it. Yes.
Dump for your info.
Don't phrase it like that. It sounds weird.
My bad, y'all.
Oh, man.